We come today to rejoice and to reflect. We come to celebrate the glorious dawn of Easter morning, yet also to remember the long night of suffering that came before. We come to worship our risen Savior, for in Christ alone is our light, our strength, and our hope of life everlasting. The story of Easter unfolds when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, as prophesied in Zechariah. Throngs of people there for the Passover festival met Jesus at the gate, waving palm fronds and singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They had all heard stories of the miracle worker who had raised Lazarus from the dead. And I imagine religious leaders, like the priest of this poem, were especially eager to catch a glimpse of him.
"It's him," shout bands of rich and poor, who block my view. I angle for a glimpse of him, whose touch unlocks a blind man's sight, a deaf man's hearing.
"There he is, there. But what is this? No light shoots from his fingertips. His voice calls down no fire."
"And yet they say a fig tree withered at his word, that he shattered death's door not once, but thrice, calling someone's loved ones back to life, that he speaks and demons cower. Perhaps he hides this power."
"He is, by all accounts, extraordinary. Yet I find him quite the ordinary. Until he turns and drinks me in, I gasp, a tremble, grasp a palm frond and wave in a frenzy of praise and adoration, singing, Hosanna!
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 As if my very life depends upon it."
"He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Look so amazing. Look so
we'll be right back.
Passover is a special holy day. It commemorates the night the angel of death stole all the firstborn sons of Egypt, but passed over every Jewish house marked with the blood of the Lamb. And it was during such a meal in Jerusalem, called a Seder and referred to by Christians as the Last Supper, that Jesus officially assumed the role of sacrificial lamb for all who believed him to be the promised Messiah, the Lamb of God.
It was a borrowed room in which the 13 dined. The fare was bitter herbs, unleavened bread, red wine, and lamb to mark the night Jehovah spared his own while raining plagues on him who sat on Egypt's throne.
The holy feast began accordingly with prayer, but then the Lamb of God poisoned the mood, the air, with words of blasphemy, or so they must have seemed.
I soon will be betrayed by one of you,
said he.
Shaken, 11 men burst out.
Lord, is it me?
Meanwhile, the traitor crept unnoticed from the room, his secret briefly kept. The question, who, Lord, who? Eclipsed before meal's end.
I must leave you, said Christ. My hour is at hand. His word made each man choke, for who could swallow then?
Jesus used his final Passover meal with his disciples to illustrate the unimaginable physical and spiritual sacrifice he would soon make for them and all who would believe upon his name. Using bread made from kernels of grain pulverized beneath a heavy millstone, and wine created by the vigorous trampling and pressing of grapes, Jesus poignantly demonstrated how his body would be brutally crushed and his blood poured out as a living sacrifice for the healing and redemption of the human race. Listen to Luke's account of that first communion service around the table in the upper room.
And he said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said,
Take this, divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
Jesus was never more human than when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, wrestling with his own will and God's. It was a familiar spot, one that would be easy for Judas to find, for Jesus and his followers prayed there often. But never had he prayed so intensely, weighing the cost of obeying God and preparing himself for the suffering that lay ahead. He was mindful of the prophet Isaiah's words written centuries before this night of anguish.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities.
He knew the road to Calvary, first public humiliation, then violent, bloody torture, and finally a slow, agonizing death by crucifixion loomed in but a few short hours. After a long and harrowing night of being paraded before King Herod, the pro-Roman ruler of Israel, and Pontius Pilate, the governor of Roman-controlled Judea, Jesus was sentenced to death before an unruly mob of religious leaders and local citizens of Jerusalem.
Call it what you will, lash, scourge, whip. Tipped with its sharp bundle of spikes and rocks, it gouged out bits of flesh until his blood ran fresh as a river, coursing the length of his limbs. 39 strokes and then some. No one cared to count.
From the palace of Caiaphas to the quarters of Pilate, beating Jesus became the pastime of the Passion. Guards and soldiers eagerly took turns, leaving handprints on his cheek.
Pounding him with rods while he grew weak, and for good measure spitting in his face. Yet none could erase that look of pity, or shout down the sound of his persistent prayer.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Oh,
how you have wrenched him from me, permitting lying lips, leather lash, holy men flinging fistfuls of anger, sharp as the spikes that split his sweet muscle, spoiled his smooth skin. I'd have gladly laid him unblemished, unbroken on the altar, had you asked. You gave me some sway in his beginning. Why not his end? Look at him. I could never kiss away half those bruises. His countless wounds would dye all my cloth crimson. Besides, these human hands hold no healing. Maybe it's best if I go with John now, if I say goodbye and let my son fly to your arms.
At dawn on Sunday, with the Sabbath well behind them, several of Jesus' followers went to the tomb to finish preparing his body for burial. Mary Magdalene was among them. When she found his body missing, she was distraught, for while Jesus had spoken of his death and resurrection, who could honestly conceive of it? Certainly not Mary, who met the Christ, risen Christ, that day and mistook him for the gardener.
Dawn alone stood witness when the weighty stone was heaved aside. Then came Mary Magdalene, crept in, stumbled out again.
Her stare vacant as the grave, her loved one missing. No wonder tears flooded the banks of her eyes.
Why do you weep, child?
A stranger whispered. The gardener, she thought. She struggled for air, wove her worry into words.
Sir, tell me if you know where they have...
He wrinkled his thorn-pierced brow and sighed.
Dearest Mary.
She knew that voice, those eyes.
Master, is it you?
Thank you, Father, for this glorious Easter.
He lives. Christ is risen from the dead.
Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory?
He lives. Christ is risen from the dead.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
He lives. Christ is risen from the dead.